This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
We'll get back to the story about the Syrian family here in Toronto who have felt forced to close their restaurant, Sufi's, on Queen West. You may remember it was a week and a half ago, there was a protest in Hamilton outside Mohawk College where People's Party of Canada leader Maxime Bernier was speaking at a fundraiser. Now, there is a video that went viral of an 81-year-old woman with a walker trying to cross the street to go to the event. She's confronted by masked protesters, a couple of whom won't let her cross, and they're calling her Nazi scum. A nearby masked protester who's not harassing the woman, but not helping either, has been identified as Ala Al-Sufi, the son of the Al-Sufi family who owns the restaurant. Now, on social media, this young man was soon identified as a Syrian terrorist. Twitter posts say he harassed the older woman. That's when the family says the torrent of death threats began and that their son was physically assaulted. They insist their son is a humanitarian and the victim of a vicious, politically motivated smear campaign by alt-right crusaders. They say he would like to apologize to the elderly woman for not standing up for her. Even the family of the woman, 81-year-old Dorothy Marston, has come to the Al-Sufi's defense. But the restaurant has closed. Your reaction, 416-360-0740 or toll-free 1-866-740-4740. No one was injured in this particular altercation with this older woman. It certainly was disgraceful, the way in which these mass protesters were treating her as she tried her civic duty to cross the street to go to a speaking event where Maxime Bernier, the People's Party leader, was speaking. Certainly a disgusting show of protest by those particular individuals. The Al-Sufi son, as a bystander, also masked. Should he be implicated? Should the family be forced to close their restaurant as a result of him being at the protest and not offering his assistance? How should we go about resolving this situation? Can it be resolved? 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. Joining us to get the discussion going is Bayan Khatib, Executive Director of the Syrian Canadian Foundation, and Nathan Shan, Interim Executive Director of the Urban Alliance on Race Relations. I believe we have Bayan locked in. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, what's your reaction to what's happened?
I was very shocked and saddened to hear what happened to the Sufi family and to Ala in particular. I know Ala very well. He has been a volunteer with our organization for quite a while. And like his parents said in the statement, Ala is well known to be a humanitarian. He spends so much of his time dedicated to volunteering, shows up at all the events to help other people and to give back. So what happened to him, him being assaulted by racists and who beat him up really badly, was just so horrifying to hear about. And and this is not the Toronto that we know and love. You know, people come to Canada for freedom, and everybody has the right to peacefully protest. They have the right to attend any event they want to, but nobody has the right to beat somebody else up and to respond with violence.
Also on the line, Nathan Shan of the Urban Alliance on Race Relations. Can I get your comments, Nathan, on what's transpired here?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of the time people think that online hate has no consequences, and here is an example of a family that came and built a dream, a restaurant that got great reputation and employed people, but have to shut down because people feel it's okay to harass and send death threats and to be racist and xenophobic and Islamophobic online, this is real consequences, and I think we as a community and as elected representatives and media and so on have to come together to say this is not acceptable. You know, the entire family has been intimidated and feel very unsafe, and a situation like this is happening because people are preying on the vulnerability of racialized Canadians.
Tell us about this young man. How old is he?
I haven't met the son directly. I think maybe Bayan would be able to answer that.
Bayan, he's a young man, clearly.
Yeah, he's about 26, I believe.
Okay, and is he, when you look at the video, is he the one in the orange shirt with the black balaclava pulled over his head?
I believe he's the one in the orange shirt,
yeah. So he is standing there and he is watching with his hands in his pockets. He doesn't touch anybody, but he doesn't get involved.
That's right. And in the statement they issued yesterday, the family, they, you know, Ala expresses that he wishes he did get involved.
Yes.
And you know, stick up for the old lady who was being harassed by other people. But he himself did not participate in any harassment.
So it just spiraled out of control by the haters on Twitter.
Yes, absolutely. And like my colleague said, we were all shocked that the hate online can actually turn into actual physical violence. It does happen, but we always think that those two worlds are separate, but they are not. And so many of us are in danger. The Syrian Canadian Foundation has received a lot of hate mail as well. Mm-hmm. Because of this, because Ala is one of our volunteers, because we have to integrate Syrian families like the Sufi family and others. So it's very scary to all of us that this online hate can translate into violence, and I worry about that.
Let's take a call. Barry in North York, you want to get in on the conversation. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Fine, thanks. What are your thoughts?
I'm rather disgusted at this. Here's a person who, or is it a family?
Yes.
That comes from another country, and instead of being a drain on society and going on welfare and taking money, they're adding to the economy, taking a chance, being an entrepreneur, and then they have to shut it down because of hate. What is happening here?
Yeah.
And my suggestion, I just thought, what about a GoFundMe page?
Well, what do you think about that, Bayan? Is there some talk about helping the family get their business back?
That's a wonderful idea. So far, what I know is that there is a page on Facebook called To Sufis with Love, because when they opened their store, their motto was From Syria with Love. Because they brought a little taste of Syria to Queen Street in Toronto. So this Facebook page is a place where people can post letters of support. And after facing all that hate, and the letters of hate that they get are so violent and just disgusting and revolting. So it's really important that the community send some love back to them. A GoFundMe page is a wonderful idea as well. I'm sure this is having, a financial impact on the family if they have to close the store. I'm hoping that we can convince them to feel safe enough to open the store once again. So I will definitely talk to the family about that idea and see.
Okay, Barry, thanks for calling in.
Facebook page?
Yeah, go ahead, Barry.
How do you get on to this Facebook page?
Okay, let's, Neetham, how do we get the Facebook page?
I think I actually wanted to say something kind of related, but
go ahead.
To note is that, you know, the reason the family is closing the restaurant is not because they were losing business. In fact, it was actually still popular. A lot of people would like to go there. It is because of safety and
yes,
safety of life, right? So it is a bit of a different context that, you know, people can still help the family, and it's important to help the family financially, as the business is not running anymore. But it's important to know the bigger threat here is the safety of people themselves and online safety. So the biggest support communities can give is to kind of condemn this type of hate and the kind of intimidation the family has received.
Let's talk about, I mean, the identification of Ala al-Sufi and how he was made out to be a, quote, Syrian terrorist online. The family says, and I learned a new term today, He was physically assaulted several days after the event and doxxed. That's an internet-based practice in which social media users unite to expose a person's private records and launch threats. Bayan, that's so that somehow there was some sort of ability to get his private information, even though he was masked and standing there quietly.
Yeah, that term is new to me as well. So I'm not sure if they have you know, hacked into his accounts or anything. I didn't hear anything about that. Mm-hmm. It's just, I know that he was attacked and his family was attacked online and then in real life as well. But
and what are the extent of his injuries?
Pretty bad. He doesn't want to talk about it. Okay. I think he's feeling really traumatized and he wants to take some time off. Away from it all. So does the whole family. They're really asking for some time to recover. They're, you know, really traumatizing for them. And, at this point, he doesn't really want to talk about the details of it.
416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Some of the information that I'm passing along to you is from a Toronto Star article, which is posted online as well. And the reaction to all the information that we've given you today is prompting even more hate. So, Nathan, I'm reading comments online saying, well, what does the family expect if they have a son who's attending a protest like this? This is what they can expect. The hate continues even after the whole situation is explained.
Yeah, I mean, just think about a situation where else has this happened when a young person, you know, has done something similar to this, you know, in fact, not criminally charged, not engaged in any form of direct physical or verbal assault, and the family business and the staff of the family business get targeted. This is not the usual situation. This happens to people of color, racialized people, and this is happening because there is, you know, we tend to believe that people spreading hate are not organized and random one-off people who mm-hmm. have nothing else to do. But in fact, these are organized groups that operate in their own corners and have the ability to multiply and have these attacks on people that are being targeted, and here's an example of that. So I think we got to know that, you know, people who believe this is wrong, people who think that we have to have a diverse society, we need to counter hate, need to speak more and speak more clearly and speak more often so that we can drown this noise, because this is getting to a point where it is organized to the level that they can damage a business of a family, of a young person who actually hasn't been, charged of any wrongdoing. And this is if you can talk about the behavior and what he could have done to stop it, but this is getting to a point which is absolutely a problem for Canada going forward.
Where is the hate coming from? Do either of you know? Is it, I mean, on the internet, it could be anywhere in the world, really.
Well, I think the problem is also in Canada. I mean, obviously, Canada, US, and social media networks are from all over the places. And people, there are people who spread hate who have, thousands of followers who follow them across the world. And so when they say something, even if they don't directly ask people to spread hate, they identify a family or identify a person, and it's almost like a call to action for the rest of the folks who want to spread hate to jump on. And I have done a lot of work on anti-racism, and I've gotten a lot of people from Ontario sending hateful emails too. So it's not something that is not coming from Ontario. Obviously, it gets magnified more because the population from outside Canada also gets involved.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to say that there's no denial that this is happening in our own country.
I'd like to get your thoughts on the Sufi restaurant situation, the fact that it's closed, that the family has put a letter to patrons in the windows, basically saying that they've had to close because of death threats. that they've received over the past week. They've decided, they say in their note, to close the shop permanently. It's at Queen and Bathurst, fairly close to Queen and Bathurst. They say their decision is made with a heavy heart in effort to maintain our family and staff safety. They want to thank their lovely customers. As you were saying, Bay, and they're very busy there. They have a lot of business. They have a lot of respect and love from the people of Toronto. They're eternally grateful. They have countless memories. It just seems like this situation, this can't be the end of the chapter. It just seems to me that the people of Toronto will forgive the young man for not stepping in. Maybe the young man can have a conversation with the older woman. Maybe people will rally around this restaurant so it can reopen. I mean, it's a learning experience for everyone, really, Bayan.
It would be so devastating if the restaurant did not open again. But right now, it's up to the community and the authorities to make the family feel safe again. Because if we don't get there, they will not reopen. And it's going to be a very bad precedent about what kind of harm can be done. So the authorities have an important role to play right now to catch the people who beat up Alaa. And the ones who are sending the death threats and the hate mail, they have to be held to account and taught a lesson that this is not acceptable behavior in Canada.
Now, do either of you know if the police are involved in some form in an investigation around what's happened in terms of the death threats they say they've received, the physical violence against the young man?
As far as I know, Alaa himself was not ready to speak to the police or anybody. He's really traumatized by what happened. We're trying to convince him that it needs to be reported. I would assume that the authorities know about this whether he spoke to them or not, must be involved already. I'm hoping that the family will speak to the police, and that, you know, it's really important that they don't get away with this. This is going to set a precedent for the rest of the racists out there.
Let's go to Doreen in Kingston. Doreen, your comments.
Yes. First of all, I think that Facebook sending them love and support is absolutely terrific, and the GoFundMe page. And my question to those people who are doing this is, I wonder how much good those who are responsible are doing for their community. And who do they think we welcome in our world? Those good Syrian family, people like them, or people like the perpetrators who do nothing but destroy and destruct people?
Thank you for your comments, Doreen.
Yeah.
I think...
I would much send love and support for the Syrian family than whoever is causing this heartache for them.
Very good. Let's go to Daniel in Toronto. Daniel, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. You know, it's a bit sad that a multicultural metropolitan city like Toronto has had this effect on this type of this business. But I can tell you, in living in the vicinity, the last year or so, the business was quite empty. It wasn't busy. And for the business owner to put a spin on it toward a political agenda by stating that they're closing as a result of threats, well, okay, have these threats been reported to Toronto Police Service? Do we know for sure that an investigation is underway? I'm not comfortable that this business is stating their closure as a result of threats if there isn't a criminal investigation involved.
That's a fair question. Bayan, what do you say to that? Because a lot of people will be thinking that way as well.
I don't know about the criminal investigation, but it's something that I'm going to find out about. I disagree that the restaurant was not busy in the last year. I have been there myself. We host we go there as groups of friends and events and have a lot of there's a lot of activity in the restaurant. All sorts of Canadians have, you know, learned and appreciate Syrian food because it's right on Queen Street beside in the middle of everything. And so that's just not true, that the restaurant wasn't busy. And absolutely, the closure is because the family is terrified because of the death threats and because of what happened to their son getting beaten up. So that's just, that's not true.
And I think, I mean, if you can, and you're doing a job of diplomacy here and trying to convince them to take criminal action, because obviously that's part of the resolution process as well. So we appreciate your efforts there. Let's go to Stacy in Toronto. Have I got Stacy on the line? I'm good to go? Okay, Stacy, go ahead. Stacy, you're on the air. Hi.
I wanted to call in and say a word for this poor little old lady who was walking across the street and got harassed by these masked thugs who called themselves, I don't know, social justice protesters.
Stacy, have you looked at the video?
No, I haven't seen the video, but I've seen enough masked protests by people who are from the left wing and who are just there because it's a Maxime Bernier event, and they stop some poor little old lady from walking across the street to participate in it. And with their masks on, and if this guy is so innocent and so and needs our sympathy, why is he there standing and watching while his fellow masked thugs harass some 81-year-old lady? And all everybody's phoning in, and they feel so sorry for this guy. You know what? Leftists need to get their priorities straight. And
Nathan, I'll let you respond to Stacy's comments because when you look at the video and the young man in question here is standing there in an orange shirt and he's masked, his whole head is masked, but for his eyes and his mouth, he does look intimidating. There's no doubt about it. He was not actually involved, but he didn't do anything either. So a lot of people aren't feeling sympathy for this young man. Go ahead.
I think you know this caller and the previous caller is indicating the bigger problem in this, right? And I think you know I've been a youth worker. Young people get involved in different kind of things. Some are bystanders. Some are at the wrong time, wrong place, and some are apologetic, and some are willing to take responsibility, just like this young man did, saying you know he's sorry, he should have done more, and personally apologize. So. To extrapolate this situation into where they came from or what their religion is or what the family owns and all those stuff and to go after is not the kind of response a society like us who want to be peaceful and diverse can do. And I think people, instead of condemning that, kind of keep refocusing on the fact that the young man actually has apologized and said that he's identified what his part was in, as a bystander. But more importantly, like even when you have a family that's come here, build a restaurant, and gotten recognition within a couple of years in such great length, having a Syrian restaurant in downtown Toronto, and then they have to close, and somebody comes and thinks that this is a spin, is again this kind of mistrust towards people of color, mistrust towards people who have come from different countries is being fed. And we need to question ourselves and to think that, you know, some with the name recognition, with the profile that's there, if they're closing the restaurant, how hard it would be for a family that has come from another country to build this and employ people and to have customers from all diverse backgrounds come to the restaurant and enjoy the food. And now to have people guess that could be the reason is something that people need to do a lot more self-reflection and think about their own settings, own families, and kind of empathize with the situation much better than what we're seeing here.
We do need to move along to the next segment. So if I didn't get to your call, Free for All Friday is coming up, and certainly we can revisit this topic. Bay and Khatib, I'll give you the final word here. What would you like to leave us with?
I would like to leave you with, please remember to visit the Facebook page To Sufis with Love. And if you can't find it, I'm going to post it on our Facebook page, which might be easier to find, the Syrian Canadian Foundation on Facebook. Please send them letters of support and love. We have to remind them that the community is here for them and that hate won't win.
Thank you both for your time today.
Thank you.
Bayan Khatib, Executive Director of the Syrian Canadian Foundation, and Nathan Shan, Interim Executive Director of the Urban Alliance on Race Relations.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.